I encourage you, continue coming to this, especially those who would consider a church membership here. What I do as part of people being baptized or individuals who have already been baptized becoming members of the church is we walk through the doctrinal statement. All right, and that is exactly what we're doing here during Sunday school for the next few weeks. So, in a sense, you can clep out of classes. All right, if you were here for Sunday school during certain statements of we believes and you're attentive and you can tell me you understood and you're in agreement, then we don't have to read through the entire doctrinal statement in that way as we normally would. All right, and Ross is getting a great refresher because he and I just did this about a month ago. So he's got all of this down already. All right, he could teach this for us. But I do encourage you to be faithful in this during the Sunday school time, as I would always encourage you to be faithful to Sunday school. But I do also encourage you talk with folks that you notice aren't here, all right, and encourage them to come for these times together. And I believe they will be an encouragement to you. All right, and we are teaching God's word. We are lifting up his name. All right, so we have plenty of adults here this morning. So I have roughly, I think, 8 different passages that need to be looked up. So I need somebody to take Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. John. All right. Matthew chapter 11. Yes. All right, Victor. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. I need somebody. Yes, Roz. All right. 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. Ted. All right. Matthew 3. Linda. Got that one?
Matthew
3. Yep. Titus 3. Who's got Titus 3? It's only 2 verses, so don't be shy. Who's got that? Yeah, Robert. Do you prefer Rob or Robert? Robbo?
It all works.
What's that?
It all works.
It all works. Okay. All right. And Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel 1. Come on, one more person. Ezekiel 1. Lindsay. All right, Ezekiel 1. That's it. All right, great. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. This morning, we are focused now on believing in God, all right? And not only believing in God, because many, many, many people who you'll meet out on the street will say what? I believe in God. And it becomes very clearly that they don't know who God is. They might be worshiping or believing in a false God, not the God of the Bible. They may say they believe in the God of the Bible, but they don't understand who the God of the Bible is, and they don't know the God of the Bible because they haven't come to him through Jesus. And Jesus makes it clear he's the only way to God the Father, right? And so on and so on. But we believe in God, the God of the Bible, that he eternally existed in 3 persons, which are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we believe in one God eternally existing in 3 persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the exact statement taken out of our church constitution. So now what we get to do is we get to flesh that out. We get to look at God's word and see why we believe that. All right, it's one thing to stand up and say, this is what we believe. Okay, now why do we believe it? And that is the whole point of working through these we believe statements as a church together. Being able to understand what we believe and why we believe it. Where we believe it from. God's word. All right. On a side note, real quick before we get started. All right. Last week, as we studied, we believe in the Bible. That is called Bibli. What's the end of that? Bibliology. The study of the Bible. This then would be theology. And theology typically covers 2 things in the broad term, all right? God as a Trinity, but then you have the term added on, which we'll consider this morning, theology proper, which is the study of which person of the Trinity? God the first one. God the Father. All right, that is theology proper. So we're going to consider the Trinity, which is all 3 persons, and God the Father in particular. Later on, we'll consider Christology. That gives it away, right? The study of Jesus. And later on, we'll study pneumatology, which is the study of the Spirit. Pneuma, Spirit. All right? So this morning, we look at God as he is in three persons, and specifically God the Father, theology proper. So, to begin off, or start off, we have this. There is one God, plain and simple. Sometimes we can miss this. All right, we hear of people worshiping false gods. There was the issue of meats offered to false gods that Paul addresses, right, in Romans, sold in the marketplace. And Paul states clearly, he says, listen, we know that these idols that this meat is offered to are what? Simply pieces of wood, pieces of gold, pieces of silver. They are nothing. And therefore, is this meat some way defiled? Well, no. You don't have to worry about it. But because it does bother some people's consciences, don't eat it. He's saying, have a tender heart towards their consciences. But what his point is this, is that this meat, which is offered to false gods, really isn't corrupted. Why? Because false gods are non-existent. They're worshipped, but they're simply pieces of people's imaginations. They're not actually true. All right? Now, there is one being, I would say, that tries to be God and has created false gods and to draw people's worship away from the one true God, and that would be who? Satan. But he is not a God. He just wants to be a God. But very clearly, he is not. So, the Old Testament tells us they have ears, yet they cannot hear. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have tongues, but they cannot speak. They're not real. So, just to be clear, all right, to clear it up, there are not a bunch of false gods or lowercase gods running around the world that people actually worship instead of the one true, big, uppercase God. No, there's only one God. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, Yahweh, the great I Am. You have false gods, you have fallen angels, and then you have all the creation that we see. That is what we have, or the unfallen angels as well, serving the Lord. There are no such thing as false gods, though we make false gods. All right. So in contrast to what the world would see, or maybe you have even somewhat kind of thought of in your mind without even realizing it, all right, there is in reality only one true God who is living. He has no beginning and no end. That's hard for us to comprehend, right? We have a beginning point. Now, will we live forever in heaven or hell? Yes, we're eternal in that sense going forward, but we are not eternal truly to the sense of the word in the sense that we had a beginning. But God existed from forever and will ever exist. He is outside of time. He ever was and ever is. He has no beginning, no end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He was not created. Rather, all things that we see or that exist have been created by God through the Son. That is clear from Scripture, that there was nothing created that was not created through Jesus Christ, by God the Father. So, number one, if you're talking with somebody on the street and they say, how in the world can you believe God? All right, your number one argument is simply go to the Bible and understand the Bible doesn't argue for God's existence. The Bible does not argue for God's existence. The Bible assumes God's existence. What's the very first verse? Somebody take a swing at this, all right? What's the very first verse in the Bible?
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
In the beginning, God. Doesn't give us an argument that God existed. It simply says in the beginning, and it says God. It assumes God's existence. Why? Because the Bible is clear that in every man's and woman's heart, there is an understanding and an inherent knowledge that God exists. Then how can we have atheists? Well, the Bible makes that clear too. They take that truth and they worship creation rather than the Creator, and they suppress the truth that is already there in their heart. Ecclesiastes tells us God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. You talk with anybody, they know that there's something after death. They might try to deny it, but inside they know it. You talk with somebody that calls themselves an atheist, you ought to be willing, and you can say this, I know for sure that you're actually not a true atheist. God tells me you know he exists. You might try to deny it, but you do know deep down inside, whether you're truthful about it or not, that you know you were created by something and that God exists. The Bible assumes God's existence. Now, is that the only thing that the Bible mentions about God's existence? Well, no. It does talk about general revelation, all right? That the skies declare his glory and his majesty. That's in the Psalms. Romans 1 talks about knowing things about God through creation, right? Romans chapter 2 talks about God writing his law upon people's hearts so that those who never received the law, in the sense from the Bible, they were a law unto themselves, knowing right and wrong inside their hearts because God placed that there. That is called general revelation, that God is known to mankind through the things which he created. The unseen things are able to be understood through the seen things. Now, is general revelation sufficient for salvation? No, it's not. General revelation is not sufficient for salvation. Who do you have to know in order to be saved? Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for you, that he rose again. How do you know that? Through the word of God. That is God's special revelation. God's word is God's special revelation. That's a little sidetrack, but simply for God's existence, well, you can talk with people about God's existence simply trusting or knowing and pointing them to the fact that God's word assumes God's existence. And God has placed knowing that he exists inside of your heart. God's nature, then. We just covered God's existence. What is God's nature? He's an everlasting, unchanging being who can act as he pleases. He can act as he pleases within what? Within his holy will. So God will not and cannot sin. All right? It's not in his nature. It's not within his holy will. But he can act as he pleases. He is creator. He ever was and never is. Hebrews chapter 1. He is a person who has a name. All right? He is a being. He is a person. He's not a man. But he is a person, a being. He has a name. He has emotion. All right? He is without compare and is graciously reigning over this earth in power and might. Who has Isaiah 40? John, can you read verses 14 through 18 nice and loud?
Verses 14. To whom did he consult, and who gave him understanding? And who told him path of justice and taught him knowledge and informed him of the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scale. Behold, he lifts up the islands like fine dust. Even Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor its beast enough for a blunt offering. All the nations are nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless.
So you have almost this picture. Let's say you take a 5-gallon bucket, all right, or a big 10-gallon bucket, all right, that might help more. And you have a very, very slow leak under your sink. And it's like this, drip, drip. And so on and so on. I think you get the picture. And you were to put that 10-gallon bucket underneath your sink. How often do you think you'd have to go under there and empty that bucket? In reality, probably not at all. The water is going so slow that eventually it would just be evaporating out of the bucket just as fast as it's filling up. Maybe, all right, if it's real cold and there's no evaporation happening or such, you'd have to go back and empty the bucket in 3 or 4 weeks. And when you consider how many drips, drip, 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 it took to fill up a 10-gallon bucket, you would say a drip is like nothing, right, in comparison to 10 gallons. If you have a big cup of water and you have one little drip fall out, well, you're not crying over that, right? You recognize, I've got a whole lot of water left in my cup. The point is, what John just read, it says the nations are but a drip in the bucket in comparison to God. There is no comparison. There is no one we can liken to God Almighty. There is no one who comes even close. God is without compare, and he is graciously and reigning over the earth. He is in all in control. And this is a job in which he never sleeps nor slumbers, according to Psalm 121. He never sleeps or slumbers. He is all-knowing. He knows all things. He's all-powerful. He's all-sovereign. He's all-judging. He's able to change his course of action due to man's repentance. And he is all-present. And if you want to look that up, maybe that strikes you interesting. You go, he's able to change his course of action due to repentance. Read Exodus 32, verse 14 sometime. It's clear that he has a plan of action. People repent, and he changes his plan of action. Now, did he in his sovereignty know they would repent and know that he was going to change his course of action? Yes, but it's clear that he does change his course of action at the same time due to their repentance. All right, and he is everywhere. He is all present. That's Psalm 139, very clearly. Where can I go from your presence, O God? If I go out into the depths of the sea and so on, from all corners of the earth, you're there. I can't escape your presence. Thirdly, and that's kind of interesting how it works this way. Thirdly, God is a Trinity. God is a Trinity. All right, he is three in one, consisting of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Matthew 11, verse 27. Who's got Matthew 11, 27? Yep, Robert.
All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him.
Great. So very clearly in that passage, you have two persons of God, the Father and the Son. Are talking about 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. Who's got 1 Corinthians 2, 10? Yeah, Ross.
To us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God.
All right, so there you have individually stated the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Who's got that yet, Ted?
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Great. So there you have. Read it one more time so for us. We can all hear it.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And catch that? You have the Son, you have the Father, God, and you have the Holy Spirit, all separately stated in one verse. All right, so we believe that Scripture makes it clear that there are three persons of God by speaking each of them separately and distinctly. And that's also who has Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Yep, Linda.
After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
See that? So one God existing in three persons, and in this particular story, you have each person of God doing something different. You have God the Son being baptized. You have God the Father speaking, and you have God the Spirit descending. All right? Three distinct persons. Titus chapter 3, and I don't remember who had that, but for time's sake, we can't read it. I'm sorry. So, well, do you have it? You ready? Go ahead. 5 and 6. 5 and 6. There you go. So who poured him forth? God the Father. Who did he pour him forth through? God the Son. And whom did he pour forth? God the Spirit. Three distinct persons there. So each person exists equally, and they're unified in essence. All right? Behold, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Do not ever talk to a Muslim or others who would say, "Oh, you are polytheistic." No, we are monotheistic. We believe in one God. Yet, we believe, according to Scripture, because Scripture makes it clear, that God is three persons. And once again, that is not a contradiction. We've touched on that recently. All right, you have one being, one God, one essence, existing in three persons. That's two separate things. All right? Three persons, one being. We happen to be one being and one person. God is one being in three persons. It's not a contradiction. All right? It does not break the law of logic. So each person of the Trinity has a unique function. And we're going to walk through this very, very quickly. All right? God the Father was the one who is the overarching ruler. All right? He is the planner. He, from beginning, it says he created. All right? But then very clearly we learn of the Son, and this is not an exhaustive list, just to be clear. Then you have the Son. He was the agent of creation. God created all things through Jesus Christ the Son. He's the one who became a man. He's the one who lived a righteous life. He's the one who died on the cross. He's the one who rose from the dead. He's our prophet, our priest, and our king, the one who intercedes for us, and so on and so on. The Holy Spirit is the one whom was sent into the world to convict of sin, according to Scripture. He's the one who's sent to dwell inside of our hearts as a down payment, as the seal of our salvation. He's the one who is given to us to help illumine God's word to us, to help us understand it and to live it out, to work our sanctification, and is the one who gives us unity with other believers. All right, those are different functions of each person or each being of God, each person of God. Let's see, as one being. So they each have a distinct function, a distinct role. How does that, what life aspect for us here on earth, how is that illustrated for us? And what? What's that?
Water.
Water, okay, yeah. So there are different, there's three parts to water, H2O, right? Okay, you could look at a tree. So these are illustrations, all right, through made things. They all fall short, just to be clear. But they do help us somewhat. A tree has roots, a trunk, and branches. If you cut off all the branches, the tree would die. If you cut off the trunk, the tree would die. If you cut off the roots, the tree would die. Each part is vital to the tree. They are each equally part of the tree, yet they have different functions. All right. You also understand marriage, I think, is a perfect illustration for us. Not three, but a husband and wife, they are one. And yet, they each have, and they're equally important, right? And yet, they have different functions in the marriage relationship. It says the two become one flesh, they're one. And yet, there's a distinction in their roles and their relationship, all right? So, God is a Trinity. Real quick, and we don't have time to illustrate it, but I apologize to whoever has Ezekiel 1. Ezekiel 1 does something for us. It describes an angel, and it talks about four faces and having a face of a lion and a face of a man and so on and so on, and talks about its wings. And if I were to have you sit down and say, all right, draw a picture of that, would you be able to do it? Not well, right? Why? Because we can't comprehend something that looks like that. What if we were to put down, have a bunch of dogs sitting before us? And we were to say, all right, dogs, we want you to draw the best picture you can of a human. How's that going to turn out? Or dogs, we want you to understand the emotional depth of a human or the human language. What would that dog say? Nothing, right? Because we're on a different dimension than dogs. And angels, in a sense, they're on a different dimension than us. We can't completely comprehend how they travel, how they function in relation to God. We know what we know from Scripture about them. We can't even picture exactly how they look. It's just not even part of our imagination that we can really do. How much more is God way beyond us? So you have people come to you and say, God, one in three persons, that doesn't make any sense. And you say, exactly, because you're not God. You can't comprehend God. You're not going to comprehend God. And so there is a sense of mystery for us in our faith of recognizing we are not God and we will never be able to explain every aspect of him. We are dependent upon simply what God's word says, which is clear. God is one being, three persons. And very quick at the end, I'm just going to talk about God's attributes, all right? And we don't have time to turn to all these passages, but this, the idea of this study is to give you an overview of what we believe, all right, and what God's word teaches. So he is infinite and he is eternal. He is infinite and eternal. He's far above mankind, what we just touched upon. He's perfect in all of his dealings. All right? He is holy. What is holiness? Holiness is God's unique glory and excellence being set apart from all else. He is uniquely excellent, uniquely beyond anything that we could be. He is glorious and excellent. He is an immutable being who never changes. He knows all things. He is the beginning and the end. He's a personal being. In other words, he's loving, he's merciful, he's gracious. He has joy. He has disappointment. He has sorrow. He is a personal being. He is compassionate and slow to anger, full of loving kindness and truth. If you don't have Exodus 34, verse 6 memorized, memorize it this week. All right? He is patient, and yet he does have righteous anger. He is the judge of the world. That is our God. So I hope you come away this morning encouraged by having a better understanding of God, one being in three persons, eternal above all else, that we don't need to defend our belief in God. The Bible doesn't. It simply says he is. He is. That we can believe in him and trust that he is. He ever was, ever is. He's gracious and merciful to us, and we ought to love him and worship him alone. Father, would you help us to continue to grow in what we believe as a church together, be sharpened in defending it and sharing it with others, and be encouraged in our hearts and our walk with you. We pray these things in Jesus Christ. Amen.